Hello and welcome to Vox Burner's Youth Trends podcast. My name's Richard Jackson and I'm General Manager here at Vox Burner. We're the creators of YMS, the world's leading youth marketing strategy festival hosted in London, New York, San Fran and Berlin. In today's podcast, Vox Burner's founder Simon Eder chats to Ginny Charville, who's Global Senior Brand Manager at everyone's favourite ice cream, Häagen-Dazs. Ginny gave an awesome keynote this year at YMS London about rebranding Häagen-Dazs for millennials. So we wanted to find out a bit more about why this audience is so important to them as a brand and what they learned along the way. Simon, over to you.
Ginny, could you share a little bit about your background and how you got to Häagen-Dazs?
Sure. So my role currently is the Global Senior Brand Manager at Häagen-Dazs. I've been there for nearly 2 years. Prior to this, I was at L'Oreal, and before that, Procter & Gamble. So if I just go back to the previous role at L'Oreal, I was working in their skincare business. And as most people who are familiar with L'Oreal will know, a lot of consumer targets at L'Oreal are young millennial women with their beauty products. So that's where I first started moving into this demographic. And it was also there where I saw kind of a real shift in how I was operating as a marketer, and 100% of my budget that I was managing in the UK was going through digital. So it was a really, really big shift from when previously on other brands it had still been a kind of a largely TV-based plan. So when I was at L'Oreal, it was actually then that I moved over to Häagen-Dazs to work in a fairly new team that was being set up that was all linked in with a global rebrand that Häagen-Dazs was going under, which I'll go on to talk a little bit about today. And part of that rebrand was around basically becoming a lot more relevant for millennials through lots of different reasons, lots of different ways, one of which through media. So I look after specifically our global digital strategy within Häagen-Dazs, which looks at what kind of guidelines and support we set at a global level, and then how do we ladder that down to the regions and the markets where a lot of digital activation takes place. And the other work stream I work a lot on within Häagen-Dazs is our global packaging strategy, and that's been a really, really important part, to date probably the most important part of our Häagen-Dazs rebrand globally around the world.
So you will come on to the rebrand and the exciting things that have come out of that in just a second. But just to sort of start us off, tell us, what are your three favourite Häagen-Dazs flavours?
Oh, excellent question. So we actually all at work, we all have under our email signature, we all say what our favourite flavour is. So it's a topic that we all like to talk about. So number one, peanut butter crunch, brand new in the market, just in the shops now, so everyone go and buy that if you like peanut butter and nut butters. And then I'm a real chocolate fan, so chocolate salted caramel, and then any of our stick bars. So a lot of people don't know actually that with Häagen-Dazs we also make ice cream stick bars, ice cream bars, so you can have your ice cream on the move, and they're super delicious. So
you've got me salivating here and now. And tell us, to get here this morning, what were you doing before this?
So I've just come from an event hosted by Bustle, which is a new to the UK online platform, also targeting millennial women. And I was part of a panel breakfast talking about brands that millennial women can't do without. And we spoke around, there are lots of myths around millennials, especially millennial women, so we talk about debunking those, and then what a brand needs to do in order to engage the youth, engage younger people, emotionally, be relevant to them, how to stay cool, what the pitfalls are, so lots to talk about that. So yeah, straight from that onto here.
Great, so hyper relevant to this. Now, just on to your exciting rebrand that you did speak about at YMS. Can you talk us through like how that came about and what are the results that you've seen so far?
Yeah, certainly. So Häagen-Dazs is a brand that was launched in the 60s in Brooklyn, New York, by a Polish immigrant, a guy called Ruben Mattis, who moved over to New York when he was 9 from Poland. And the brand actually has this really, really cool founding story wherein Ruben, when he was a teen, used to work in an ice cream shop, loved ice cream, but actually was getting fed up with all the kind of sickly sweet ice cream that was out there in the market, and decided to start his own ice cream company. And it was, you know, it was in the 60s, it was all natural, hippie and all that. And so he wanted to start an ice cream brand, which didn't have any of the what we call, you know, the nasties. It had no additives in it. It had, was everything that was in the ice cream was only what needed to be there. And the brand really took off and became super successful during the 80s and 90s. But what we actually realised from these really cool beginnings, we actually started to lose our way a bit over the 90s and into the noughties, where our share started to flatten out, and we began talking to consumers about 5-10 years ago to try and understand where that kind of excitement was dropping off. And what we really found was that when we talked to consumers and we talked to young people, they love the product, they love you know, the Haagen-Dazs ice cream that they were eating, but what they really didn't feel resonated with them was the brand. They felt there was a real mismatch between this lovely, luxurious, indulgent, delicious treat they were eating and actually the brand that overlaid it and the packaging. And they just felt it was really outdated, quite old-fashioned, it wasn't relevant to them. And then that was a kind of huge learning for us. And that's what's really started us on this rebranding journey. And the first port of call for us in that was actually our packaging. And that was, if you think about all the money that we could spend around the world on marketing and media, the one thing that everyone is going to see is the packaging and what they hold in their hand. And that was where there was really this discrepancy with the deliciousness inside and the old-fashioned casing on the outer. So we did a ton of research talking to people about what this discrepancy was. And then we made a really important discovery for us, which was we realised that our definition of luxury and how we were portraying the brand was really old-fashioned. So we know that luxury is a category truth, right? We know that when you have a bite of ice cream, it takes you to somewhere else and it's a really luxurious, indulgent moment. So we thought, okay, we've got a luxurious product, we've got a luxurious pack, but actually we didn't. It was, if you think about what luxury meant in the noughties and the 90s, it was gold swirls, the supermodel was quite brash, in your face, but actually luxury for younger people has massively shifted now. And it's way less around aspirational, I can never get there, but it's much more now about attainable. And modern luxury is not saving for a Chanel handbag for a year to be able to afford it. It's actually having my avocado on toast this morning, which cost me £15, but actually this is my luxury and it's delicious. Or the Chanel lipstick that I might be able to afford instead, which quite often might just sit in my drawer, but the fact that I've got it there, or when I do put it on, it's those little moments that a brand can give to a younger person that has really kind of shifted the way that we think about how we talk to younger people.
So how has Haagen-Dazs then repositioned itself to stay relevant to like young people and retain its kind of like luxury, but for today's kind of young generation?
So it's a really good question. So I think threefold at the moment. So one, we have really looked at redefining what our brand looks like and stands for. So we've built what we call a new brand world, which is all around the colours, and you think about the mood boards, they're very millennial, as it were, and that filters through into everything, such as all of our advertising. We also have Haagen-Dazs cafes, or Haagen-Dazs shops as we call them, so a lot of people will have been into one perhaps on holiday. We have over 800 across the world, and that's really important for us to make sure that we are positioning these shops as a moment away from the craziness, and a moment of luxury and a moment of cool, a relevant, exciting place for young people to come into. We also think about the products that we offer to younger people. So it might be we're really famous for our pints, you know, the big tub of ice cream that you can get, but actually younger people on the move might want something that is more kind of on the go. So we've launched stick bars, we've launched mini sticks. It's more about on the go treats that fit into people's lifestyle a lot more. And then finally, the really big piece is that's, you know, in market now is around our packaging. So that was when we took those insights around, okay, our packs from 2 years ago and the last 10 years were very this sort of 90s vision of luxury and this gold and this red and the swirls. And actually we thought, what does luxury mean now for a consumer? And how do we make sure that when somebody buys a Häagen-Dazs tub, that they're proud and excited to take that to their friend's house, or when they're in the freezer aisle in the supermarket, how do we stand out at shelf? So what we've done with our packaging is we, first of all, did a lot of research around what millennials, I keep saying millennials, but I mean, you know, younger, the youth, the youth target, what do they want? And we realised that aesthetics is really important, and it's a really visually led generation, much more than before, particularly when you think about consumer goods, and FMCG is not previously known for its design, but we wanted to do something where the brand could look really, really beautiful as well as being a functional
product.
So
think Instagram first, is that right?
Exactly, yeah. So that was a really big part of our brief as we looked at what we could do with our packaging. So beautiful, really, really aesthetically pleasing and digital first. We thought about this luxury piece around how can we still be really luxurious, what does that actually mean for the design? But we also thought around authenticity and creativity and craftsmanship, which really harks back to how the brand was founded, but also plays right into what we know that millennials care about. And these kind of three factors in terms of luxury, creativity, authenticity and individuality, that's four, but they kind of all came into what we did with our packaging, which is we, for every single flavour, and we've got 46 flavours around the world, sadly not that many of them available to buy in the UK compared to our whole range.
I know, it sounds like we're missing out.
Yeah, so we took, for each of those flavours, what we did is we basically got a team together of artists and illustrators from around the world, and they created these illustrated worlds for each individual flavour, which was really supposed to bring the experience of that flavour to life. So if you think about how, you know, different ice cream products, such as you might take a raspberry sorbet, and that might make you think of refreshing and zingy and light and, you know, a summer's day. And then you might think of chocolate salted caramel, which is more kind of gooey, indulgent. It might be an evening in. And you can already see how the experiences of those ice cream flavours actually take you to quite different places. So we built some really cool kind of mood boards and word clouds out of those experiences, which then went to these artists and illustrators that we kind of curated from around the world. And off the back of that, we've got these amazing kind of bespoke illustrations for every single flavour, which has gone onto the pack. And they're balanced with much more of a kind of restrained Scandinavian design, which means that we've now got this amazing set of packaging where every single flavour, every single pack is unique and bespoke to that flavour. And it has also given us what's really exciting, and it's what we could never have predicted. It's given us a new kind of visual brand language. We now have a bank of beautiful illustrations, which we have really pulled off the pack, and they kind of live far and wide. And it's been really exciting to see how much people really, really respond to those packs. So we've taken them into, I mentioned earlier at our Häagen-Dazs cafes, so you can see those patterns coming to life through there. You can see them in our advertising. We've done events such as a fashion show in New York, where there was a fashion show in Shanghai, where there was a Chinese fashion designer who designed a capsule collection around our new patterns. We've done a big event in New York, in front of the New York Stock Exchange, where we had all the interiors designed like the patterns, and we had them set up like an art gallery. We've done pop-up events with chefs in South America.
Wow.
So many things that have really kind of surprised us and excited us. All of this is born from how do we rebrand and be relevant to a younger consumer.
And it sounds like the integration of like those events is about bringing the, you know, the physical and the digital together. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's, you know, there's a lot to be said for TV and above the line campaigns, but there's an awful lot to be said as well for getting in front of the consumer in real life, through events and through personalization. And that's where we have lots of success around the world with our different countries doing that. We had a really cool pop-up event in London last summer at the launch of these new packs. That was, again, it was Instagram first kind of experience, where everything was curated and looked absolutely beautiful, because we know that's what people want. And free ice cream, of course.
Of course. And just to understand, sort of maybe winding back a little bit, the millennial audience are obviously important to you.
Yeah.
Why was most of the research like conducted with that audience in mind, rather than like, you know, maybe some of your other, you know, loyal consumers over the years?
So I think it's a really interesting question, and one that we always keep front of mind as we think about our strategy as a brand. So we basically have to look, we have to work hard the whole time to make sure that we are being relevant and exciting to new consumers. And we have an incredible base of loyal consumers that are that little bit older, 40s, 50s. And we will do everything in our power to make sure that we're still delivering on them and giving them exactly what they want, whether it's through innovation, whether it's through advertising and brand experiences. But we also know that the future lies in targeting a younger demographic. And we've done a lot of research that points us in that way. And I think as well, if you look at the rest of the brands in our category, if you look at other ice cream brands, if you look at other food dessert brands, the target is very much a younger consumer than it had been traditionally, because that, to be honest, is where the growth is. And it's exciting for us as a brand to be able to think about that new demographic and how we can pivot and shift and grow and develop as a brand to keep being exciting and keep being relevant to them.
And it sounds like, you know, in the research that you did, that there were quite a few surprises, particularly around luxury and, you know, its reception with the young consumer audience in mind. What other kind of surprises like came out of the research?
So yeah, I think that biggest surprise for us was around the luxury, just because it was really made us sort of sit back and go, oh gosh, this is what we've been doing wrong. I think a surprise that was a really nice surprise was when you're in research and you think things are going wrong, actually people really love Haagen-Dazs, and it's a really it's a brand that has really high awareness and a lot of love around the world. And when we looked at, when you're talking about changing the packaging design for a global brand, you've got to be very, very clear about what you can play with and what you can't. So we did a lot of testing where we asked people what their kind of brand recall was, if they could draw a Haagen-Dazs pack, what it looked like. And actually we were really pleasantly surprised by how people really recognised our logo, and they recognised that on our packs we have this, what we call the half and half split between white at the bottom and then some colour at the top. So that was really useful for us in our research, because it, as I said, it gave us the parameters with which we could move, so that we weren't risking, in this big rebrand that we're talking about, we actually weren't risking losing and alienating any of our loyal consumers, back to your question earlier. So that was kind of a big surprise for us. But I think also within our research, so we did loads at the beginning of the rebrand, and we're constantly kind of on the lookout for new insights that come out and then get released into the media. And I think the it's less as a surprise, but something in terms of that keeps us on our toes, is that there are so many myths that get flung around millennials and a younger consumer, and there are lots of catch-all phrases or catch-all definitions of a millennial that the press seem to apply to everyone. So whether it would be millennials are lazy, or millennials are not interested in being financially independent, or all these other things.
All the other millennial myths.
Exactly, all those millennial
myths.
So I think it's around just making sure that there might be some truth for some people in those, but actually the thing about millennials is individuality, and nobody wants to be defined by one thing, and people can change their mind. And even if we bring it back to ice cream, we know that somebody might be eating healthy during the week and then choosing to have a Haagen-Dazs at the weekend. That doesn't make them an inconsistent person. It just means that they're choosing to indulge at certain times, and we want to be there when they do choose to indulge.
Sure, that sounds like me. I have my an almond milk latte with cream on the top. But anyway.
Yeah.
And in terms of the actual research that you underwent, with the young consumers in mind, what were the kind of key learnings like from that? How did you go about it, and maybe what would you have done like differently having done it?
So the research that we do is ongoing. We're a massive brand, and we want to make sure that we are not talking to ourselves when we think about stuff, when we plan stuff. So everything that we do in market, whether it's a new advertising campaign or it's a new product flavour, we test and we talk to people, and we do a lot of different types of research for that. We could be going to in-home interviews where we're sat with a 29-year-old woman for 3 hours to talk about her life, or you know, behind the screen. So I won't go into the different methods just because it's there are so many different ones that we use and that we tailor. I think to your question around what the most interesting insights that we're pulling from that is, I guess probably just back to what I was just saying in terms of there is no one size fits all. So let's kind of celebrate that diversity amongst you know, our millennial consumer and who we're targeting, but let's also make sure that we're there for her in the moment that she wants us to be. So if I take food for an example, there's a lot of kind of shifting in the category, well, not shifting, but there's some disruption, I would say, in the ice cream category at the moment in terms of low calorie ice cream that's coming in. So that doesn't mean that out of our research we're hearing people say, oh, all I'll eat is low calorie ice cream. Not at all. Mm-hmm. Some of them are, mm-hmm. but I think what it is for us is to make sure that we kind of stay true to ourselves as a brand and we stay authentic and that people understand what we're about. And we've got lots of amazing food quality credentials that we can talk about sort of in the same arena. So we can talk about the fact that we don't have any, you know, added stabilizers and emulsifiers, and the only ingredients that go into our ice cream are things that absolutely need to be there. It's all around kind of high quality, right back to when the brand was started. So we need to understand from our research how we pull on the different levers and when is it relevant to talk to a consumer around functional product benefits like that when they're thrown up against low calorie ice cream, and when actually is it much more important to be more emotional in our branding and talk about how ice cream can make you feel and how that little extraordinary moment when you eat ice cream can really uplift your day.
One of the key things that came out of like YMS like this year was really around, particularly with young women,
yeah,
in mind, particularly issues of mental health. And I just wondered if like that has registered in your research and how that has maybe translated into the way in which you you know, go about taking Haagen-Dazs to market.
It's a really interesting question, and I think also as a 29-year-old woman, something that I've seen, unfortunately, an awful lot amongst my friends and, you know, news outlets that I read. So it's something that's top of mind when I think about millennial women and what has come to be, you know, a symptom of the generation. I think there's nothing that's come up in our research specifically around mental health, but generally, obviously, social media, digital, and everything else, and how that can pertain. I think for us, though, the way that it's relevant is back to this emotional benefit of eating ice cream and how we can be there. You know, if someone is feeling like they need to pick me up, how can Haagen-Dazs help in that moment? Whether it is through the right product or the right mm-hmm. flavor at the right time, or whether it's through a brand experience or some content that's really interesting. So I think that's just part of our job as a brand. If we want to keep being a brand that is exciting and interesting and relevant to a younger consumer, how are we there for them whenever they want us and whenever they need us?
Sure. And just thinking now about, you know, our audience, other youth marketeers like yourself, I just wondered what tips you really have to like offer them in their journeys, perhaps to stay true to their brands and, you know, rebrand themselves to stay ever youthful and relevant for young consumers.
It's a really good question. I think one of the most important things that we've learned is around the power of the brand story. And this isn't rocket science, right? Everybody knows in marketing that if your brand has a story, then this interesting heritage story, I'm talking about a founder story, then try and find a way to tell it. And I think that that's something that finding new ways and interesting ways to tell that is something that I would pass on as a piece of advice. So we've, as I, you know, I spoke earlier about this founding in Brooklyn. What I didn't say is that Haagen-Dazs was named Haagen-Dazs. It's a made up, everyone always asks us this, it's a made up name.
And it's not Danish. It's,
so it was yeah, exactly, it was named so by Ruben Mattis, the founder, because his grandparents during the war had been helped by the Scandi community, so he wanted to give it a Scandinavian sounding name to kind of pay tribute to that. So we always talk about the brand as being Brooklyn born but with Scandi inspirations or Scandi aspirations. and how we've really pulled that through to everything is has been kind of remarkable. So it's gone through to pack, it's gone through to our brand behaviour. You know, we have our own brand colours that are called Brooklyn Black and Scandi White. So it's that would be one tip.
What
I'd
a
say.
Great fusion that is.
Yeah. So that would be one tip I would say to youth marketers is if you do have a brand story, think about ways in which you can tell it. It doesn't just have to be a TV ad in 30 seconds or whatever that talks about it. Think about pulling on the different parts of your brand story and where you can apply them in an interesting and a relevant way. And the second thing I would say is, because I've spoken quite a lot about the packaging redesign, for those listening that do work on a brand or with a brand that has packaging, so consumer goods, don't underestimate the power of the pack. As I said, it's the medium that everybody will see, and there's so much you can do with it. Whatever's true to your brand, whether it's around the right kind of storytelling, whether it's about sustainability, if you're in a position of influence to change that packaging, see what you can do. If you're not, then how can you influence internally to kind of get that? That's really been a huge springboard for us of what we've done with the packaging, and as I said, has we've gone on from what originally was a packaging brief to has something that's really kind of defined what we stand for as a brand now in terms of our design and our craftsmanship. And again, it's right back to the roots of the brand founder as well.
So final question, we've covered like so much about you know, your rebrand and the impact that that's had and the research and so on. And it really feels to me like you're a real passionate, you know, Häagen-Dazs, like member flag waving, etc. I just really wondered what your experience working within Häagen-Dazs is like, and how all the values you've spoken about in the rebrand have maybe like translated into like the way you kind of work internally.
Yeah, so that's a really good question as well. I think it basically feels like an incredibly exciting place to be at the moment. Feel like it's a real honour for me to be working on a huge global brand at a really pivotal time in its history. And one of the reasons that I was interested to come and talk to you guys today is I know that it's a challenge for so many brands around the world, global brands around the world, that are struggling to pivot in the right way to keep being pivot and refresh, to keep being relevant. So internally, we're super excited about the direction that Häagen-Dazs is taking and has started to take. Lots of it is still secret and undercover. So I'm hoping in a couple of years' time, you know, we can look back at this conversation and you can see all this is the kind of stuff that Ginny and the team were working on. But we are really excited for what's happening now and that consumers are starting to see. That's, you know, coming into stores, it's coming online, it's, you know, it's coming into their conscience. But now it's kind of just the beginning, and we would feel that we've got so many amazing brands in the space around us, whether it's artisanal smaller startups, whether it's bigger brands that are managing to do really successful stuff. So we're constantly looking externally for inspiration, for conferences, for learnings and tools and trainings about how we can keep doing this, because we know that we've got a wonderful product and we just want to make sure that the brand really matches up to that and that people continue to love us in the future like they do now.
Fantastic. And final question, and this is also with a bit of a personal note, because you've just jogged my own like memory, and that is just to share that my now wife and I had our very first date in a Häagen-Dazs store.
Fantastic.
Over a Bailey's ice cream.
Oh, delicious.
Like, too many years ago that I could possibly, you know, remember. But I just wondered, what is really your Häagen-Dazs memory?
Probably, for me personally, probably last summer, so June 2017, was standing in front of the New York Stock Exchange with this huge installation which had all of our packs, all our favourite packs, installed like an art gallery with the patterns and artists, and really kind of launching that to the global press to say, this is Häagen-Dazs, this is what we stand for, this is what we've done, and this is why you should care about us.
Sounds awesome. Thanks so much for your time today.
No, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Ginny and Simon, for that. If you want to find out more about Ginny, you can follow her on Twitter at the Ginny Index for more about what she's up to. Thanks very much for listening. and see you back here next week for another episode of Vox Burner's Youth Trends Podcast.